On the cover, there is a sheet of lined paper that has been crinkled and folded as though it's been kept in a pocket. It is held by one blurry hand that the camera of the cover can't quite capture. The sheet is a grocery list, full of mundane items all crossed off. The only item left to get is a fifth-dimensional flux capacitor.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Light Show, the human disco ball.
Prepare to be shocked. It's Jitterbug.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Reformers, issue number one, Pick List.
The comic opens with the inside of one of the many hundreds of warehouses that Protean City must have, judging by the amount of warehouse scenes there have been in the grittier Protean City comics.
What do they keep in there?
Who even knows? Definitely mostly stuff that we don't care about, and then like one thing that's important.
Stuff in crates.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, crates. We see a man in a cheap suit carrying a huge shotgun, walking between the crates and looking around. His brow is down, and he just looks so focused on what he's doing. And then he gives a nod and goes, "Hey, over here." And another two guys in really just awful-fitting suits, also with big guns, come around the corner as well. And we see now the comic panel pulls out, and enormous steel letters over the warehouse's entrance says Steel Industries. We pull back and we see, looking down at the warehouse, our two teen heroes, Jitterbug and Light Show. Let's start out with just like, what costume are you wearing? What does your character look like standing up there in the panel?
She's definitely in her sort of weird camo, and it's very obvious when she's standing against the dark background, but she's like this blot with the stars around her, but then there's this kind of weird shifting, and it's not like it moves around, but it's just like this disruptive camouflage.
Nice.
So she has her hood off, so you can see her hair coming down. It's fairly short cut, but you definitely can see her sort of profile. She's turning to look at Light Show, and the panel is like, "Turn it down a notch."
Because he has a low-key strobe effect going on. His costume is now a black leather trench coat on top of his kind of more generic superhero costume. It usually has lines of light that run through it, like fiber optic cables, but it doesn't have any of that. It's more just like dark jeans and a gray t-shirt that has like his logo on it underneath the black trench coat. He has fingerless gloves. He's kind of got something that's like between a full like face buttress, but it does cover his eyes and the top of his nose. And
it's got that little point coming down.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of the Batman mask, and it just like sort of covers his eyes and his face. But doesn't cover his hair because he has a little bit of an afro.
Oh, excellent.
Perfect.
So he changes. He has like a little bit of a strobe light going on, and he just switches it over to now it's like a black light strobe light. So it's just a little bit less noticeable unless there's white or things that would glow.
Which there aren't. I think throughout this comic, we've got like a lot of like really muted colors. And so the lights coming off of Light Show are like very stark against some kind of darker mid-shade sort of things.
Yeah.
And so what do you do up there? Actually, let me ask this first. What are you doing? Like, why are you here?
So this is Damascus Steel. These are the Bellani crime family are coming here casing this joint.
Yeah, they're making some kind of a move, whether they're here to take something or whether they're just looking around. I think we don't know yet.
Yeah, but we knew they were coming.
I think you found out.
I found this out, and I'm like, right, we've got to stop this. Whatever they've got, they don't need, and Damascus doesn't need it either.
Yeah.
So the panel has got him, like, his word bubble is like kind of got that like jaggedy edge on it, like he's talking. And then I'm just, there's this me smacking you. And then your speech bubble goes back to your normal voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like they're preparing to move stuff. We should get down there and move it first.
There's a lot of boxes in there. We're not sure which one they're going for. Once they open it, though, we'll know what we're after.
All right.
And then I'm just going to start scampering down. Awesome. Because I'm used to working alone.
Yeah.
So I'm still not ready, like, to, like, giving the signal that, like, it's time to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just...
Yeah, and getting down, like, this is no issue for you.
I hope you're moving. I'm not unleashing my powers to climb down this ladder.
All right, so you're, like, scampering down to go through the same, like, open... It's like one of those garage
doors. Those big roller doors.
Yeah. What's the plan? Are you going to, like, go out there right into their line of vision? Or are you trying to, like, spy on them for a little bit?
Probably clamber over the boxes so we're at have the sort of a higher stance.
Okay.
And we can try to figure out which way they're going and then sort of get the drop on them.
You see, like, Joe's, like, you just see his eyes through the head mask buttress thing. And his eyes just go completely, like, the pupils expand. And he is, like, sucking in more light through his eyes so he can see better in the dark. And he's just, like, watching in, like, we get, like, light show vision for a second. Cool. We can see he's looking in, like, night vision now.
Very nice.
Like, watching this whole situation. So he's going to stay up on top of this building to help guide you.
Okay, cool.
Fantastic. So that sounds like you are either...
I'm probably unleashing my powers.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're unleashing your powers to extend your senses.
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
9.
9. All right. Very nice. So would you like to mark a condition or should I tell you how it's unstable or temporary?
You can tell me how it's unstable or temporary.
All right. So Jitterbug has gotten down there and is like starting to move into the warehouse. As you're standing, like looking down over it, we get a panel from the viewpoint of the mobsters and one of them is turning and sees just like a reflection of light up near where you are.
The glint in his eye.
Yeah, just like the glint of a little bit of light off of your visor. And he pauses for a second, nudges his friend, and the guy, he's the biggest dude, just like reaches into his back and pulls off what looks like just an enormous sniper rifle. And he starts just like, he puts it down. It's got like a tripod and he's putting everything together. And you're just like watching him do that while like looking up in your direction.
But I do see him.
You see him. You see okay. that happened. And like you've got like a good view of what's going on now.
Okay.
So you can see that there are those three guys and there's another two that are like sort of by the entrance that are not going to be a problem for Jitterbug going in, but might be some trouble coming out. And, like, especially could be a problem if there's any sort of alarm raised. Yeah.
So I think Light Show would, over, like, the radio communication they have, would just say, crap, I think they saw us.
Us?
And then what he's going to do is kind of, like, he has gloves that have fingers, but the fingertips can pull off. And so he like...
Does he have a mitten string that keeps them from falling?
Yeah. Okay. So he pulls the finger off of his pointer finger and points it right at the guy with the sniper rifle and it puts a red laser dot on him as a point indicator to Jitterbug.
Okay. So not trying to scare them.
No.
Trying to... Like, to
indicate okay. to her, this is the guy.
Okay.
I think the gun gave it
that,
away.
No problem.
He's helping.
I'm helping.
Doing his best.
You're helping. You're helping enough that like that would be a super good way to use team in the future.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
So this big guy, he's like setting up a sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. The other two are moving a little bit further into the warehouse.
And they're leaving him alone.
Leaving him alone, yeah. Okay. And like kind of with Light Show's surveillance, you're able to get like a good idea of where, like, how you can move around to get in front of them or get, like, abreast of them or whatever, wherever you want to be, basically.
Sure. So, yeah, she'll be scampering again across she'll have her cowl up now. Mm-hmm. Her face is covered. And She's like slapping her wrists, like doing this, like, you know, you dust your hands off, mm-hmm. but she's like actually striking her wrists together.
Okay.
And you see there's like this kind of technological gear that's sort of built into her forearms.
Nice.
And most of it looks like you would see like normal human protean city, like sort of mid-level high tech.
Yeah.
But there's these like two little sort of, like there's sort of ovals, and inside there is like, there's definitely like, it's not human. Like there's like this mm-hmm. alien glyph.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Love it.
And yeah, she's going to scamper over and she's going to try to position herself. So to see where, they're obviously looking for something specific.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want them to find it because it's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just going to wait. And she's like, don't do anything except get down here.
That sounds like you're provoking. Go ahead and roll plus superior.
That would be an 11.
Woof. Okay, so if you do it, you get to add a team to the pool. Mm. If you don't, you have to mark a condition.
Light Joe kind of sighs. He didn't want to do this.
I heard that.
But I guess this guy is pointing a sniper rifle at, or about to point a sniper rifle at him. So he's going to, he has a belt that has a bunch of pouches on it. And so he reaches into one of the pouches and pulls out a little GoPro with a suction cup, slaps it down on the edge of the roof, and then it hits a little button and a little red light pops on because he's going to film this so mm-hmm. people can see. And then he's going to jump over the edge of the side of the roof in a way that to the camera looks like he probably just jumped down, but to everyone else he just jumped onto the fire escape. And then he's going to like and then like walk down this fire escape. trying to be as quiet as he can.
Perfect.
He's like, all right, I guess if you need my help, I'll be on my way.
Yeah. So yeah, there's just a like, she's like cocking her head like, and just sort of flinches and then goes back to like watching where these guys are going.
Yeah.
If she can, she's going to be keeping her eye on the sniper guy. But if she loses sight of him, that's Light Show's show. Like she's all right. Not worrying about that. She's got other things to think about. Perfect. She's normally used to dealing with competent teammates
mm-hmm.
or colleagues. So she's just going to expect.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand. She is.
He's confident.
Yeah.
He's confident something. Enough. He's, uh-huh. Great. So we get a panel that's like above Jitterbug showing down so that we can see her and then also seeing the two mobsters that have now gotten over to a couple of crates. And they're just starting to like jack them open and they're pulling out bars of metal, looking at them briefly and just like tossing them to the side and just like going box to box. It's making a clatter. It's making some noise.
A lot of noise.
Yeah. What do you do?
She's going to drop down between them.
Okay.
So like if they're like, they're looking into this crate, lifting these things out, she's going to drop right beside them. So they're one on the other side of her. And they're like, and she's just like, look at them. Do these things belong to you guys? Because I can help. And she's just going to lay hands on them.
Nice.
To like shock them.
Great. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat. I think any one of these would not be a threat to you. But they're both pretty heavily armed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2v1.
Well, 9. Jitterbug's a dangerous girl.
All right. Very nice. So you get to pick one. You can resist or avoid their blows. Take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
She's going to impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Nice. You reach out and just kind of grab onto each of them, and your bolt goes right through them. What does that look like on the page?
There's like these little electrical effects around her knuckles, mm-hmm. and it just like cascades into them. It's like, it's almost like if, like when a spider grabs its prey.
Okay.
You sort of see that sort of wrap into it, and the electricity just zaps into them, and
nice.
They sort of spasm, and then she just lets go. And they would, if they fall, they fall. If not, then
yeah, they both are like definitely stunned by this, mm. no question. There's just like the panel of you shocking both of them, and then it goes into like a quick series of like martial arts scenes that one of them is throwing a punch, and you're blocking it. And then the other is like trying to kick at you and they start to just like, they're on either side of you. And so it's tough to block both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one good hit does get through and just clocks you on the jaw.
Okay.
Go ahead and mark a condition.
She's going to take angry.
Cool. That makes sense.
So yeah, this is just amping her up.
Yeah, and like, you are going to have control of the situation pretty soon, I imagine. But they are, like, you know, they are engaged in combat with you. Things could get bad if someone else comes over.
Definitely.
And that's when you hear the sniper rifle fire off, and we get a panel that shows Light Show's camera just being shattered because it was a single glowing red light.
Nice. That's what I was hoping you'd go for.
Which luckily means that it went off like 15 feet above your head.
Yeah.
Instead of on you.
So there's the gunshot. The camera goes. There's a flash to Jitterbug's eyes widening, like bang wide. And then there's a shot, just a single shot of a woman's face. Looks vaguely like Jitterbug. And she's saying, "We'll always be together, sis.
I'd like you to take a powerful blow."
Exactly. No, I would love to take a powerful blow.
I'd love for you to take a powerful blow.
I got this. I
Very
got a five.
Nice. What does it look like as you like focus yourself back in?
It's another flash, and she's watching television, and there is the Light Show on, and it's obvious, like, he's dodging a bullet. Like, I'm like, yeah, he's got this.
Okay. Awesome. All right, Light Show.
I hear this shot go off, and I know that somewhere behind me, my camera is broken. I was just preparing. He has, like, a... when he rolls up his the sleeve of his trench coat, he has a smartwatch. And he was just like about to turn on the live stream so that people could watch. And he's like, "Oh God, that was his." Like, he probably has another camera, but he knows the sniper is going to take it off. So he's like, "All right, I can't do that." So you said there were a group of, besides the sniper, there were a group of other guards. Like,
yeah, there's like two mobsters standing outside. One of them is smoking, and the other one is telling him that he really ought to stop smoking.
Yeah.
At their feet, can there be lying two like Damascus Steel guards?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely two steel guards on the ground.
So when I'm going to jump over the edge of the last like little bit of fire escape.
Yeah.
So it looks cool, but it's not really that high up. And then I'm going to, like, he pulls all the rest of the fingers off his gloves to prepare. And he kind of, like, strikes a pose. And now, instead of just one red laser dot, it's, like, five red laser dots. And he's going to, over the radio, just say, "Get ready for this. I'm coming to help." And now there's five red laser dots in, like, a swirling pattern. Because he's kind of doing like a little bit of a wizard hand motion.
Nice.
And so there's like five laser dots pulsing around or moving around these guards. And then like pulses of energy light like are just shooting down the red beams. And he's always making sure that the red beam that it's like pulsing down is not on the guy.
So just, time it hits.
So it just looks like he's shooting laser beams or whatever. And occasionally he's shooting a couple up into the sky and he's putting on a flamboyant like show of like I'm shooting a lot of light lasers at these guards trying to scare them into running away.
Nice. Go ahead and roll to provoke.
I might actually be putting on a flamboyant show with my powers.
Oh, you might be. Yeah, if you've got to move
so,
for it,
yeah,
that takes precedent.
I'm gonna roll plus superior.
Great.
12. So on a 10 plus, I get to name two NPCs present.
Okay.
The NPCs must either volunteer information or help, express admiration, or ask for my help. Your choice.
Okay.
There is one of the guards is a security. He works, like, his night job is that he's a Blondie gang, like, crime member. But during his day job, he works security for the Light Show show.
So it's like, "Jared, is that you?"
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, his name is Jared. There's a female police officer who sees the Light Show happening. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of in the area anyway, because she got, I think the police kind of got some word that there was maybe going to be some crime happening in this area. And so she sees the Light Show and knows that means that somebody's doing something stupid. but she's been like, basically, I think she's been using Light Show's flamboyant light displays to like actually find the real crime and then try to stop it. And her name is going to be, let's go with Decker.
Oh, that's good.
So we see Officer Decker, who's been in some other light show comics, and she just like flicks the switch to put the sirens on because she figures she'll put a little bit of fear of God into him, and then calls over her walkie for some backup. And we see immediately like the tenor of the mobsters has changed. One of them, Jared, just immediately turns to... He was the guy who was telling him not to smoke. He looks over, sees you, sees his ally like moving to kind of duck and cover, and just like takes two steps behind him and like pulls back his gun and just pistol whips him in the back of the head.
Nice.
And turns to Light Show and goes, "Hey, boss."
And Light Show is just gonna really put on like a fake Batman voice.
Nice.
And just be like, "Good to see you out here.
You know, pays the bills. No offense or anything."
"No, it's fine. I guess I can talk to them and see if they'll pay you more, but I can't. I gotta take some."
"Who are you talking to?"
"Don't worry about it. Sorry."
"Thank you very much, Mr. Show. I mean, it really makes a huge difference for us."
"That's good. Just get home. You don't want to be here when the police get here."
"No, I don't. All right. You have a good one,
sir. I'm gonna do some crime fighting."
"You absolutely, sir. All right, bye." And he just like turns, and like as he's walking away, he's just like taking off like the jacket of the big ill-fitting suit and just like tosses it to the side, like gets into a car and just starts moving away. So we dealt with two of the guards now.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna like the one guard that he knocked out, I'm just gonna kick his gun off to one side behind a dumpster or something, just to make sure if he wakes up, there's no gun there for him to grab.
Perfect. The two mobsters over by Jitterbug, you frightened, impressed, or surprised them. And so, like, they had their moment of, like, coming at you, but they don't want to stick around for this fight. And so there's a moment of hesitation as one of them gets ready to move and, like, get away. And that leaves essentially him or his friend open.
So one of you can leave, and one of you can tell me what you're looking for. Take your pick. And then I just have my fists up, and it's like with electricity.
And they're like,
I guess one hand has got electricity and one doesn't.
Nice. They're kind of like looking at each other real quick, and one of them just like grabs the jacket of the other and kind of like hurls, like just sort of pushes him at you and then tries to run away from you.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the mobsters is like just pushed in your direction. Mm-hmm. And he gets his fists up. He's ready to try to fight if he can.
So yeah, I'm just holding up one finger, and there's like a little tiny bit of static electricity on the top of it. Tell me what you're looking for, or you get the whole hand.
Go ahead and roll to pierce his mask.
Yeah, I have a thing for wrong side of the tracks. You always get to ask an additional question when you pierce the mask of a villain.
Perfect.
Oh, that'd be a big miss. I get to ask an additional question when you pierce the mask of a villain, even on a miss.
Oh, okay. Your question options are, what are you really planning? What do you want me to do? What do you intend to do? How could I get your character to blank? And how could I gain influence over you?
How could I get your character to tell me what you're looking for here?
These guys are not Belandi and her family. Like, you'd be able to tell by looking at them. The Belandis have, like, a lot of family resemblance.
Okay.
And so he is a hired guy.
A hired goon?
Yes. He does not have an enormous amount of loyalty. He's looking to make a paycheck and, like, you know, maybe work his way up in the family. But, like, if this doesn't work, then the Belandi family's not going to be, like, crying a whole bunch of tears.
Okay.
So they sent in people that they knew there was a chance would be killed by Damascus Steel. And so he wants to survive the night, and if he can, fill his pockets a little bit. Even a relatively small bribe would get him to pretty much do whatever. He's not in the family in the real way.
For sure.
So you've got the mobster there, and you suddenly just hear like all of the sirens at once. There's a bunch of police that have just descended on the area. It's almost like they were like ready for this, as if Damascus Steel like bribes the police or something.
For sure.
Which couldn't possibly be true.
Never.
But a big spotlight comes on, like right into the warehouse, and is on you and this mobster. Now, I'd like you to tell me the name of a police officer that really, really dislikes you because of your previous life.
Oh, yeah. They don't know I've turned. So that would be Alex White.
Okay.
And that's White with a Y.
Okay.
And yeah, he's had this like hate on for me. Probably because I like embarrassed him. I mean, I'm just this little girl. And so yeah, if he's like, I could never reform in his eyes.
Yeah, no. He is going to go to his grave believing that you are a supervillain. Yeah. And right now, he is standing outside of his squad car with that big light pointed at you, talking over the speaker. Jitterbug, stand down. Hands where I can see them.
I'm going to turn to this goon, and I'm like, take one of these bars. You can probably fence it for a decent amount, and I'll take care of this. So that's me blowing off some steam. When I commit a misdemeanor or a small victimless crime, I can clear a condition of my choice. So I'm not angry, because I'm like, I'm excited now.
Yeah, because now it's like, oh, I get to have some fun with Alex White.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not doing a good job of helping you be the reformed. I'm kind of like, hey, come protect some villains.
Mm-hmm. It's her style. It's her style.
Yeah, I feel like this works.
So I'm going to be turning around with my hands. Well, yeah, all my hands behind my back, the way you're going to get cuffed.
Okay.
But like, and if it closes, then there's a close-in shot, and it's like that little power jewel thing is like fully charged.
Nice. And so like at this point, the police, like there are several squad cars there. They're moving in. Alex White is like, he's standing up and he's got his gun drawn and is moving into the room. The mobster just grabs a brick, grabs a second brick, and it's like a little awkward now to carry both of them, but he's like trying to just flee out a back door. The guy with the sniper sees what's going on and he just like puts his hands up, gets a huge goofy grin on his face and goes like, got me again. What can I say? And Light Show, you are also right by this warehouse. And so there are police like swarming around you, past you. Are you obviously Light Show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've been wearing this costume on the cable like syndicated show too.
Okay.
So like it's this whole like darkest light thing that we've been doing recently where like he's kind of like he's not working with the other heroes anymore. He's really like on the streets fighting crime.
And you are the star. So like people know who you are.
Oh yeah, they definitely know who I am.
The police are definitely swarming past you.
Yeah.
Which
pisses me off a little bit. Like they don't want to stop and talk to me. Like, come on.
They'll talk to you after they arrest Jitterbug.
Okay.
Jitterbug.
So I'm getting into this stance, which looks like a submissive stance, but it's really like a power jump move.
Yeah.
So I'm just like getting myself like tensed up, getting my muscles and my hands are like, I'm ready for them to like come up behind me. And as soon as they do, they're going to get a taste of Jitterbug.
Can I defend the police officers?
Yes, absolutely.
I would like to do that.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to defend. Well, tell me what that looks like first.
I think that I know that Jitterbug is in this building and all the police officers are running in there. I know, I'm like, I've done the math. There aren't a lot of other gang members in there.
Okay.
So they've got to be going in for her. And I don't want them to, like, I don't want them to arrest my protege. Like, that's, that wouldn't look good for me.
Yeah.
And I know that you're a little bit jittery with around the police. So I'm thinking,
thanks for that.
Yeah. She's going to do something. She's going to hurt these police officers who need my help. And so I'm going to rush in and try to put myself, run in and do this like slide and twirl with the cape of my, or like the back part of my trench coat.
Mm-hmm. Can that throw Jitterbug into shadow?
Probably.
Like, so that you're, like, cause she's in the spotlight right now.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. No.
And I'm trying to put myself physically. So if you're going to shock something, it's going to be me and not these police officers.
Cool. Is your intention to give her a chance to get out? Or is your intention to protect the police from her?
I'm trying to put myself between her and the police officers so that they won't do anything to provoke her.
Okay.
And she won't attack them back. So that she could get away.
Okay. Then I think you're actually protecting Jitterbug.
Okay.
So you're defending Jitterbug.
Okay.
Go ahead and roll.
So that's a 9.
All right, mm-hmm. great. So on a 7 to 9, so you're going to keep her safe.
Mm-hmm.
On a 7 to 9, you can expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. You're also going to add a team to the pool.
Okay.
Take influence over someone you protect or clear a condition.
I'll take influence over you.
So you already have influence over me.
Yeah, so I get cool. to shift your labels.
Shift me.
I'm going to move your danger down.
Dang.
And your mundane up.
Ooh.
You can expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
I'm 100% going to escalate the situation.
Okay, awesome.
You know that I am.
Yeah, so you get right in the way, and like the police that are right there definitely interpreted it as like being attacked.
Okay.
Because suddenly, like, you moved in quickly, mm-hmm. and they thought that they were just going to come arrest you. And so, like, immediate, like, once things were kind of like, once you had your hands behind your back to your bug, they kind of were like, okay, this is going to be an easy
thing. This is going to be an easy capture.
Now, suddenly, it isn't. And we get, like, a couple of gunshots that just go wild, and they're, like, everyone is suddenly screaming at you. What do you do?
At both of us?
Yeah, at both of you.
And I'm kind of in front of you,
yeah.
like, hands out, strobe light going on again. I'm trying to be physically between you so they can't see you even.
And you're a big yeah. visual distraction.
To give you a chance to get away.
Which is great for Jitterbug, but Jitterbug still has a mission. She still wants to know what they're after. So in that last crate they were going through,
mm-hmm.
she's like just rummaging it quick.
Rummaging through, you find there's a couple of tubes of metal
mm-hmm.
that look like really strange. When you pick them up, they're extraordinarily light.
Okay.
And there's some blueprints in there as well.
I'm going to grab the blueprints.
Okay.
And I'm going to just scamper away.
All right. Yeah, go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
All right.
Because martial arts is one of your powers.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm going to freak. And I'm going to hit a 7.
A 7. All right. Oh, very nice. I was looking at that yeah. 5.
That was a 5 on the dice, but I have +2.
All right. So you can mark a condition, or I can tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
I'm going to mark afraid.
Okay, cool.
Like, and that's very non-Jitterbug, but it's like, this was like, she was completely exposed
mm-hmm.
and she was feeling vulnerable. And technically, Light Show saved her.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll go with insecure. That's
fine. Okay, cool. All right. So, Light Show, Officer White is like up in, I think Detective White.
Yeah.
Detective White. Yeah. Detective White is like up in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Do
I know his name?
What's on his
name? I don't know. How much do you know? It would be on
okay.
his. Although he's a detective.
He's a detective,
he's wearing like the tie.
Okay.
Who was the police So Officer Decker is probably coming up to like, hey. Yeah. And then yeah. White's just like powers through.
Like, you know, like on the ground now.
Yeah. And I think Light Show is kind of just like straightening up now that he can hear that somebody is like jittering around behind him, trying yeah. to like get out of the way. And he's just going to be like, Detective, sometimes when the light is the darkest, we must reach into the shadows and find those who can help us protect the city. But our work here is done.
Are you trying to provoke him into standing down?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Go ahead and roll to provoke.
Okay. Oh, that'd be big. 13.
Lucky 13.
He just like, he's standing in front of you and he's all like chest puffed out. Like he's ready to go aggro on you. And he then just stops and just like shakes his head and goes, just get the hell out of my sight.
And I'm going to turn to Officer Decker and say, you tell everyone the Light Show and the Jitterbug save the day. And then I'm going to like spin and make a burst of light, mm-hmm. just blind everyone temporarily, and then hook it out of here and hope that I can get away before their vision comes back.
Yeah. And we get the panel just like Decker and White. Decker just going, God, I hate that he does that. Do Jitterbug and Light Show have a shared place that they would go after a successful caper or moderately successful caper?
Yes. And it is the attic of like her grandma's townhouse, okay, or like her brownstone.
Cool.
So it's like this kind of semi unfinished attic, and there's like this stairway thing, like that folding stairway thing that would lead into, mm-hmm, it, but it's all like nailed shut or covered over. And there's just the only entrance is like through this like upper skylight type thing. And she sort of set it up into her like a little, her little base.
Yeah.
And it's
super easy for her to get
into. It's super easy for her to get into. And like,
there's a ladder on leaning against like three buildings down, and he's got to climb up that.
Exactly.
And then like hoof it across the roofs from like.
And the way that I think the way the panels would be is like, both of them start at the bottom of the ladder, and then we see Jitterbug going up, going across, waiting, coming back, coming back.
Yeah.
And then very
slow.
And
then I made it to the top of the ladder.
Yeah, and just like, okay. Okay.
So we get like those panels showing the entrance, and then we've got the two of you in there, and you have this blueprint.
Have these blueprints. Are they readable?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're not an engineer, I don't, mm-hmm, think.
No, she's not the tech. Like, she's the, okay, she's like the, not, I guess, muscle.
Okay. And this is, you can see from, it's all labeled. It's a blueprint designed to be used. It's not like something that was being kept super secret, because, sure, who would steal from Damascus steel?
Exactly.
And it is precisely the blueprints for a fifth dimensional flux capacitor. Which, who knows what it is,
mm-hmm,
but it has like some, looks like kind of a fan that rotates itself around, not like an oscillating fan,
mm-hmm,
but like a spinning fan that goes consistently, and it has all these different like diodes coming off of it, and it looks extraordinarily complicated, and there's notes from the engineers all over it about how It is impossible to build one, because any earth metal would just bend and snap because it needs to be so finely put together. Like, you couldn't make a device that has frames as thin as this one,
mm-hmm,
because it would just all just basically collapse on itself.
I wonder how it expects us to build this.
I think that's when we see the panel of Light Show finally climbing in through the window.
Yeah.
and Light Show is going to say, I don't know, I guess we'll bring it to your...
I've got a friend. I told you that I have a friend in the, okay, sewers. And like, it sounds really weird when she says, mm-hmm, it, but there's like... You want it to make fun of her, because it's like, oh, is he a rat? Does he have some turtle friends?
Okay. So I'd be like, I guess we'll bring it to your friend. And
I'll bring it to my friend.
You'll bring it to your friend. And then... But like, hey, and he's gonna like put a hand on your shoulder,
okay? And her shoulder will drop just so you don't hit.
And he kind of misses, and he'd be like, "Good job out there, though. Like, we got in there, and we took out the mob bosses or the mob bosses, and you didn't.
You know,
fight
those
the
guys
police.
Were just goons, right?
But we got the goods. We did the mission. We took out some bad guys, and like that's the thing. You did a good job. You're being a hero."
Should we high five now?
Sure. And he goes for a high five.
And her hand does not go up. Great job.
Okay, so I think that you are celebrating, yes, with a teammate.
Yeah. Yes.
But your teammate is maybe not celebrating back.
When we share a triumphant celebration with someone, when I share a triumphant celebration with someone, say whether it's part of the show or not. So I think this is not. I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you actually went out there and did some real superheroing, and like, we actually really got some goods and stopped some bad guys. So if it's not, then you get to shift my labels, and I clear condition or mark potential.
So I'll drop your superior and raise your danger.
And I don't think that you were celebrating. So I don't think yours goes.
Yeah, I was not going to talk. I definitely was not celebrating.
Yeah. So yeah, you've got this blueprint. It's not going to do you a whole lot of good. Attactatron implied to you that this device exists somewhere, that it might be in the hold of a hero of some kind,
mm-hmm,
but you are trying to be a hero, and so you got this other lead, and you went after it, and it's...
So I'm going to look at the
it's
plan.
It's been a partial success.
It's partial success. The mission was a partial success. So I'm going to go over the entire plan and just like look like who the engineer is, or if there's like that little thing in the corner where it's like this was drawn by where, or some kind of identification thing, and see what that is.
So it indicates that it was copied off of an actual, that like this wasn't the inventor of it, right? That it was,
this was like an analysis, like this we have this object and this is how we've broken it down.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's from the labs of where?
It's from, instead of having like an inventor's name or anything like that, this is an analysis piece.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from Crawtech, which is the science labs of the hero Crawdad.
Light Show is at this point taking off his head buttress mask thing. And
doesn't that get sweaty?
That's why he's taking it off. Yeah. And he's going to clean it because it's going to wipe his face. He's just going to say, yeah, I've heard of him, but, we haven't worked together before. But I can find out where he is.
That'd be great. Cause I got to go visit somebody.
And I am going to brace myself and pull out my cell phone and open my mind to the psychic maelstrom of Twitter. and the like dark gossipier sections of the internet.
So I do need to ask, are you actually opening yourself up psychically to this, or are you jumping on Twitter?
I'm jumping on Twitter.
Okay.
So just it's
to,
worse.
Just yeah, to
it's
clarify.
Worse. It's a worse choice.
So I have a move.
Okay.
When I tap into the gossip and rumors of the celebrity industry for information on an important city figure, I can roll plus superior.
Okay.
6, 7, 8.
Okay, very nice. What happens on a 7 to 9?
So on a hit, I can ask the GM questions.
Okay.
And on a 7 to 9, I get to ask one. And I am going to ask, where and when can I find Crawdad?
Okay. Crawdad is a Silver Age hero. He used to be really involved with stuff on a out there doing superheroics level, but he really is not doing that anymore. You were able to pull up like when he tends to be in his office. It didn't take too long to connect with something that like someone who was able to just kind of casually slip you the access to his Google Calendar.
Can I change that?
Yeah.
There's a whole like weird community of people who are obsessed with Crawdad.
Nice.
And like track everywhere he goes on like a weird Google Maps thing. And
perfect.
It's like probably not a sexual thing, but it's like maybe a weird thing. Like they're just like weird. Like what would be a good name for like Crawdad groupies?
Crosmonauts?
No.
Crosmonauts.
I feel like Crosmonauts is good. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But that everything around Crawdad is so stupid.
So yeah, there's a group of people who call themselves the Crosmonauts who are like Crawdad fans. Like they've all been super fans since the Silver Age.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like track where he is all the time.
He has had so many awkward interviews where people ask him about the Crosmonauts and he just has no idea what to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
They would never really they would never talk to him because that's like there's a wall. There.
Yeah.
Like, they just want to follow him and watch him and obsess over him.
Yeah. And he's not really doing superheroics directly anymore. So like it
might.
Isn't it's not even a security
might.
Issue. He could.
Though,
yeah.
I mean that's the thing,
does.
Is they're just if there's Crosmonauts that were there when the Crawdaddy returned.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
That would be
That's why they always have to know where he is. Like
that's true.
Why there's
to be there ready at that moment. Awesome. All right. So yes, you've got his schedule. He's got a talk at the university coming up tomorrow in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Crawdad is the coach of a little league team.
Yes.
And so he's doing some coaching in the afternoon.
Okay.
Other than that, he's mostly gonna be in his office. Because he works at the lab all the time. There's a little league game in the middle of the afternoon and he's giving a lecture at the university in the evening.
So I would just kind of like, rub my eyes. That was some tough Twitter.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Just the internet's a whole weird place. Don't ever look at it really. I found out where the Crawdad's going to be. He's got a little league game. He's coaching. He coaches a little league team. He's kind of like one of those heroes.
Oh.
But
one of the old heroes.
Yeah. whatever, if we want to go talk to him, he'll be there. Or that's a good time where he won't be in his lab. He won't be in his lab.
Are you suggesting that we break in to an old superhero's lab? Light show?
Sometimes.
Don't do that voice in here.
When the light is the darkest.
Stop it. Just stop it.
You've got to look into the shadows.
You already used that one. Did you realize your comms were on the entire time?
And all of those have become, like, they've gone from being the speech bubbles near you to being, like, the floating text bubbles of the conversation that's happening as we, like, just zoom out. And are you going to break into Crawdad's lab while he's coaching a Little League game?
I think we have to, yeah.
Yeah, so we get, like, one panel of Crawdad standing at, like, it's a Little League team that's a Little League team practice. And he's like standing on the pitcher's mound, and he is this big mutated crawfish man with just
wow,
like
wow, what an appropriate name. Was he born with this name, and then he grew into this?
Oh no, 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 no. He's got like he's got kind of like a mustache thing going on that's made from like little tentacle bits.
He looks a little bit like Davy Jones. He looks the Pirates of the Caribbean.
He's a more crab-like.
More crab-like.
With one big crab arm and one giant robot arm. And he's using And he's using the giant robot arm to throw an underhanded pitch to the little fellow up there ready to swing. And so that's the first panel. And then the next panel shows the inside of Crawtech, which has an enormous... We start out with just the inside of like the entryway lobby. And there's an enormous painting on the back wall of Crawdad in his prime, shirtless, with a huge laser gun that's shooting like 20 bolts out of it at this enormous swirling monstrosity of blood and ichor and hate that is Santo Sangre. And we just get that like bizarre image that some Protean City artist decided that he had to make. And there's no content on that page, but the next page has us probably inside the lab. I don't imagine that the two of you would have any trouble getting inside.
If I'm taking the lead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're in the lab. The lights are off because he's not there right now, and this is his own private lab.
We kind of have an idea how big this thing is. We're going to look for a cabinet, or I think we're looking for a cabinet or storage area, or if it's in some kind of an analysis chamber where they've like sort of visually dissected this thing. And if it's something sitting there and it's energized and it's just like, it's like a swirling, shredding, multidimensional fan thing. And I'm just going to be turning towards Light Show and say, you pick it up.
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city. We'll publish a few each issue with a response from our editors. The first letter reads, "Dear PCC editors, I love reading your comics on the bus and train during my long commute to work. I'm curious to know what public transit looks like in Protean City. Is it usually on time? How easy is it to navigate? Are bus passes affordable for young heroes short on cash? Sincerely, Eleanor Todesveld." Well, Eleanor, public transit is very important in Protean City. In most cities, public transit represents an affordable and accessible way for people to travel around the city. This is even more important when the city is trying to encourage young heroes to find their place. The primary source of public transit in Protean City are its hover subway trams. They're fast, quiet, and reliable. Most importantly, every subway station is equipped with a fully functional fallout and emergency shelter. When villains attack, get underground.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Light Show was played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns.
Jitterbug is played by Kevin Petker, who can be found on Twitter at Kevin Petker. He is the author of The Ward and Princess World. Both of them are great games. You should support him and check out the rest of the games he's been working on at his Patreon, which is patreon.com/kpetker.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.